remember me. I'm still here. Dave Walker of Oak River Church. And I certainly remember you. I was riding around today with no particular place to go. Just getting out, you know. And so many of your faces came up in my mind. You know, Midge. Thanks for the card, Midge. Laura and Glenn. You know, God just began to bring all these people up in my spirit so that he knew he wanted me to begin to pray. Pray and driving is a great thing to do. Pray and driving. The Wickards. I was out in Burton thinking about the Wickards. Hope you're doing well. Laura and Fred Nowicki. Just all these people that I miss so much. Johnny and Nikki, Judy Cascone. You're in our thoughts. You're really in our thoughts and in our prayers. And we're here, you know, gathering together as best we can in this difficult time. Kathy and Ron and Judy, Willie, his family. So we're holding you up in our prayers as we're going through this, really. We're going through this together in such a strange time. But this is not, you know, the only strange time. In the Bible, we have an interesting time. In the book of Acts, if you have your Bibles at home, look in your book of Acts. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's talking to the men. Gathered the men together, you know, and he says to them in chapter 1, he says, and being assembled together. That sounds so great, doesn't it, Doug? Oh my goodness, being assembled together. I cannot wait till we're assembled together again, till we can gather. We take it for granted so much, but we'll never take it for granted again, right? Being assembled together. Oh, just, we are the church. I know we are the church, but the church assembled or gathered together, there's such a strength in worship and power in fellowship. I just can't wait. And we're coming close. We're coming close to that day. Sandy will have an announcement for us soon. So we're waiting. And he says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. What? Wait? Did he say run? Did he say fight? Come on, guys. He said fight, didn't he? He said we're getting ready to hide. We better hide. I mean, this was a real time of uncertainty. Everybody was after him. The Romans, the Jews. I mean, it was a difficult time. And so he says, yeah, wait. We hate waiting, don't we? Now, next Sunday, Sandy's going to be preaching on the day of Pentecost, which is, this is 40 or 50 days, depending on who you're reading, what commentary, after the resurrection of Christ. But it's not about a magic number. If any of you have been waiting for any period of time, you understand it's not about numbers. It's about a whole different aspect of maturity and growth. And, you know, we have angry waiters. Hey, wait. I'm just not waiting, you know what I mean? I was in the Army. It was always hurry up and wait. They, you know, they get you out of bed at 5 in the morning, they just have to wait in line. They eat chow, you know. I mean, I'm not waiting. If I drive by a place and there's a line, I say, Jerry, I'm not waiting. You know, I'm just not waiting. Don't we know somebody? Don't we know somebody at the door? Yeah, we know somebody at the door. Jesus. And he's telling us to wait. He's saying, wait. Wait, we have frustrated waiters. Oh my gosh. You know, I thought this was fast food. What are they doing? Just pull off to the side, you know. I got things to do. Lately, I'm waiting, you know, 6 feet from somebody at Tractor Supply today, And she says, the lady said, well, I'm really sorry. I said, don't be, I'm retired. So I'm not in a hurry. You know, I love being retired because you don't have to be in a hurry. You just can take your time to do things. And we have defiant waiters. I'm just not waiting. I'm sorry, I'm not waiting on anybody. You know, we got to do something here. Something needs to be done about this. And then we have your patient waiter. Judy, my wife, mostly women, men hate waiting. Anybody ever notice that? Men really hate waiting. They got to do something, you know? Let's do something. We need to get something done. Women are just much better waiters than men. They seem to be. And then we have your grumbling waiters. Oh my goodness, that's me. You know, I love to grumble. What's taking so long? But Jesus is telling us, wait for the promise of the Father. For the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Well, I mean, I would have liked to have been in this group. You know what I mean? When did he say that? You know, when did he hear this? Well, we'll look back at over there in John. In John, he gives us a little idea of what they're waiting for. The promise of John 3. In John 3, he's speaking to a religious leader, and he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. How many know that? Oh my goodness. I've been in and out of the flesh all week. You know, I've been in the flesh more than I've been in the spirit with this waiting thing. It's become very difficult. When is this over? I'm sure you're feeling the same way. I mean, you're feeling, when is it going to be normal again? Well, thank goodness this right here is not the new normal. I don't like this, okay? I'd much rather run over and grab you and pray for you and, you know, love on you and do those kind of things. This is not the new normal. It will get back to normal. It says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Something's happening here in the spirit. Do not marvel. I say to you, you must be born again or born anew. And I think this process is like a born again experience. It really is. Because it gives us this time to evaluate, to wait, and see, you know, what's really going on in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. You know, after 40 years for me of Christianity, what really is developing in my life? And how am I letting it develop? It says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So we're being transformed by the Spirit. This is the promise of the Father, that we can be transformed by the Spirit, by something that we have a hard time getting a hold of. We can't predict where it's coming from, where it's going, what's going to happen. We're waiting for the wind of the Spirit, the rebirthing process, which is the wind blowing. Which way is the wind blowing? What are you doing, Lord? In all this that's going on, this is also strange and different and new to us. What are you doing in this? Well, he says, if you want to look back to the prophet Isaiah, he talks about it. In Isaiah 40, he talks about it. He says he gives power. We're talking about a supernatural power that's coming to the disciples so they don't have to run. They don't have to fight in the flesh. They don't have to be, angry waiters. They don't have to be frustrated waiters. We don't have to be frustrated waiters. We can be patient waiters in his power and his strength. He says he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. So this can be a time of maturity and increasing our strength. away from the things that we are so familiar with, like gathering together and certain freedoms and, you know, having to wear a mask. I was in four places today and they had four criteria. You had to wear a mask, and the other one, they had to wear a mask, and the next one, I had to wear a mask. So finally, the bandana is a socially acceptable, fashion option, and I love it, and we just pull it up any old time. It's just great. It's really great. And he says he's going to increase your strength. I read this out of a book on waiting today. It says, second only to suffering, waiting may be the greatest teacher and trainer in godliness and maturity. Woo. Men rather suffer than wait. When the pain to remain the same, okay, outweighs the pain to change. Most men will only change when the pain's greater. But God wants to have us wait. See, waiting is not weakness. Waiting is being renewed in strength. Wait is being renewed in power. He said, wait. What did he say? Fight. Woo. No, he said, wait. He says, waiting is the biggest maturity builder that men and women will ever encounter, this idea of waiting. He says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fail. But those that wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I believe God's preparing us for something. I mean, did God cause this? I don't believe so, but I think he can use it. I just think he can really use it to bring that maturity into our hearts and in our minds, and that peace that we sang about. His peace won't let me go. So what are we waiting for? God's power. That's what Pentecost is all about. Not doing things in our own strength. How many know about doing things in their own strength? Oh my goodness. But waiting for God's power to come. His dunamis power. His Holy Spirit power. It says, our gracious Heavenly Father wants us to teach us something. Waiting is not weakness. It's controlled strength. Controlled strength. I'll show you in Isaiah. It's so close. We might as well just turn back. Oh, there. Isaiah 30. In Isaiah 30. Verse 15. It says, in returning in rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. You said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee. It says, we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swifter. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, and at the threat of five shall flee till others flee, till you are left as a pole on top of a mountain, as a banner on a hill. Therefore, the Lord will wait for you. That's controlled strength. God is so gracious, so merciful. When he sees us waiting in the wrong attitude, with the wrong, frustrated, angry, complaining and grumbling, he says, I'm going to wait for them. Because I know it's going to build something in them. I know it's going to build something in the men and women of God. It says, therefore, I will wait for them that I might be gracious to you. Oh my goodness, he wants to pour out his grace upon our lives. Just pour out his grace upon our lives so that we can be the people of God that he wants us to be. And therefore, he will be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. A God of mercy and strength. That's controlled strength. Waiting on the Lord. The Lord is the God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. Wow. See, we can find a blessing in all this time of waiting. All these, it's been 40 days at least. But like I said, there's no magic number. How long will it take? How long will it take till you just surrender to God? All right, I just surrender. I give up. Do what you will. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Now go back to Acts 2. In verse 5, he says, "And John truly baptizes you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Well, exactly how many days from now? I want to know how many days. Okay, give me a timeline here. We need a timeline. We need to get going. We need to get moving. We got things to do, places to go. You know, I mean, my goodness. And he says, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?'" So they get kind of political on him, you know. I mean, they've been with him 3 years. He's been talking about the kingdom, and they're still talking about politics. Woo! But he's so gracious that the Lord can be gracious to you. He wants to be gracious. He wants something beyond politics, beyond the political spirit. He wants something. He wants to pour out something beyond all this on us in this hour. Not to divide us, but to bring us together. To bring us together in an outpouring of his love and authority. What does he say? "It is not for you to know the times and the seasons." Quit trying to understand all this in your own, in the flesh. I'm trying to move in the spirit. We're moving in the spirit here. "But you shall receive power." Ooh, I'm going to wait for that power. Oh, it comes and it goes, doesn't it? Some days are better than others. Some days I got the power. I got the power, you know. In other days, ooh, I am so weak. Oh, my goodness. And I'm complaining and I'm grumbling and I'm, you know, doing, making enemies on Facebook and, you know, all kinds of things. "Oh, but you shall receive power." Holy Spirit power, spirit power, not power in the flesh when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, "and you shall be my witnesses." Oh my goodness, I want to be a witness in this hour, in this time. "To me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and even unto the ends of the earth." And when he spoke these things while they were watching, he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight. And they looked steadily toward heaven as he went up. Two men stood there in white apparel and said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here with your mouths open looking up into heaven?" I mean, I can only imagine going, "Huh? What did he say? Wait?" Oh, man, he must be just so blown away. Blown away. What wonderful times. So what they did, so they returned to Jerusalem in verse 12. From the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, on the Sabbath day journey. And when they entered, and they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, all the guys, Zebedee, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And what they did? They had an election. We got to do something, you know. We just can't wait here. So they had an election to replace Judas. Oh, my goodness. I bet they had Judas for lunch. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that is something. That's really something. Oh, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? So they got busy like, you know, most men will. And they continued to wait. And in verse 2, and Sandy's really going to pick up on this next week, the day of Pentecost. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come." So the new day is coming. I'm here to tell you that a new day is coming. We are going to come out of this event. We are going to come out of this, I believe, stronger, more grateful, more loving. Because that's what this outpouring, it's an outpouring of love It's an outpouring of love. It's a new day, a brand new day, a brand new man in brand new strength by His Spirit. By His Spirit. And He can use every bit of this. I even thought back and think I've wasted some of it by grumbling and complaining and not having the right attitude about it. And I've wasted some of this precious time. His arrival is not fixed in time. Today is a new day. Today is a new day. His arrival is not fixed in time. His arrival is every day. The wind of the Spirit is every day. Every day. Oh, it's a brand new day. He arrives in all directions at once. All directions at once. You cannot really control the Spirit. This outpouring that has come is eternal and it's for everyone. It transcends time. It transcends time. See, love is not a transaction, it's an outpouring. We're used to love transactions. But this outpouring from God, His love, His grace and mercy in this hour, if we see it right, it's just so full. It's the fullness of time. It's a brand new day. It's a brand new day. Now, one thing He did give us as to do when we wait is communion. So, you know, if you have your elements, I'd really like you to get them together now because we can have communion together. Even though we're apart, I look forward to the day when we're together and, you know, the ushers pass out communion and we can have communion together, or we can go to the side tables and have communion. You know, we've taken it for granted so much. And I don't think we'll ever take church for granted again. I just don't think we will. It's so important to me. When I came back into the building and heard the worship team start up, I said, I'm coming back. I need church. I really need church. So, you know, I love the tails. They're so spiritual. Look how thin they are. You can eat a lot of these and not put on anyway. Okay. But he took something. This is a potato with anise. And I hope you're out there picking up your communion, Midge and everybody else, so we can take together. And I hope you're thinking of me, because we're all thinking of you as we take this together. And I think, you know, so many of you need healing. So many of you need love and peace and joy. And as we take this communion, this is what it was given to us for, as a remembrance. Oh, don't make me cry. Oh, my goodness. You know, He took this bread the night before He died, and He said, I knew there's got to be something that we can do to keep this group together and surrounded and reminded of what this new covenant's all about. So He took the bread and He broke it, signifying His body that was broken for all of us. His broken body, that He knew He was going to the cross the next day. And if this His body, because He is the bread of life, would be broken. So let's break the bread together and just eat a little piece of the bread together. So in like manner, you know, He's with His followers and men. And He knew they needed something. And so, this is part of their life. Wine and bread were just a part of their life. And there wasn't a time they probably picked it up after that that they didn't think about Him. And how He had poured out His blood on the cross. And how that blood is for our healing in everywhere. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. It renews us. I've been taking it in the morning with and before my coffee, just to remember in this time, focus, to refocus, and that's what it's about. So let's take this cup together. He said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember me until we come back together again. And Lord, we look forward to that day. Lord, we just pray right now. We thank you for this time of strengthening, that you're coming in a special way to each individual, and you're speaking to each individual's heart, if they'll listen, if they'll take the time, and you're showing them how they can be powerful witnesses to all those that are surrounding them, around them. They can be powerful witnesses of your outpouring of love, your grace, your mercy, everything that you have for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.